everybody, and welcome back to another action-packed episode of Warring Attitude. This is the 51st edition. I am your host, Brent Piles, and with me, as always, the War with Two Attitude with me. He is the barroom brawling, disco dancing, dynamite stretching, intercontinental playboy. Folks, he's more over than David Ray. No, he's not. At no, Jay Russell, not Glenn Abbott. Glenn, how are you?
It's been a good week, hasn't it?
It has been a pretty good week, you know?
Good week.
It has been a pretty good week to be
honest. You've got that smart new shirt.
I got my fancy new Sackett jersey, yes. I put it on right before I finally watched the penalty shootout in the Champions League match, and now it's good luck, Glenn. Can't never wash it until we lose.
Anyway.
And top of the league, Glenn.
Yeah. Can't beat it. Shut so many people up.
Well, what's the
subject? Oh, there's so many Liverpool fans and ex-players and Manchester United ex-players that are getting so upset with us being top of the league. It's unbelievable.
Well, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. You guys still got a chance to come back. It's going to be okay, Liverpool fans. I saw something that says we only need to win our next 10 matches and we'll win the league. I said, well, that's easy enough.
Yeah. Yep.
That's easy enough.
How many we got left? Oh, yeah, 10.
Yeah. They don't play for like 22 days now, though, so.
Yeah, let's hope they go somewhere nice and warm.
Yeah, I mean, it worked last time, didn't it? I don't know what they did on their last international break, but, man, good Lord, they were.
No, it wasn't. The thing is, that wasn't an international break. That was just the winter break.
Oh, yeah.
They went off to a winter training camp, which seemed to turn it all around for them. This time, unfortunately, it is an international break. The good news is that Ben White has basically said he doesn't want to play for England. I don't know what went on between him and our beloved manager for England, that is, Gareth Southgate. But obviously something is that he does not want to play for his country, and that's sad.
That is saying. So, do you have any? What do you guys got? Friendlies? Or you got like quality? Yeah. You don't have any. It's just friendlies, right? They're done qualifying for anything, right?
No, that's it. Yeah, they're already there. It's the playoffs for the Euros.
Oh yeah, which they don't have to play in that. They're just playing a tune-up game or something.
Yes, just a couple of friendlies.
It's actually a big summer for soccer too, because you got the Euros and then you got the Copa America, which the United States team is in this year. It's actually played in America, so we're gonna have two tournaments like really going on at the same time. So that's gonna be really fun. Because I was literally thinking, like, what am I gonna do with myself when there's no soccer to watch in the summertime? Then I said, oh wait, no, there'll be plenty of soccer to watch.
There's not a lot of summertime.
So yeah, so there's plenty. There'll be plenty to watch. No worries. No worries at all. But yeah, so that's fun. We love soccer at the moment. Talk to us in 6 weeks and see how we feel. But we love it right now.
Yeah, we do.
And another thing we love, sometimes it's a love-hate thing, really, is WWF 1997. And this week we watched the October 13th edition of Raw is War. It's from the Landon Arena in Topeka, Kansas, better known as the Kansas Expo Center. Opened in 1987, it's held many wrestling events over the years, starting with some WWF house shows in 1987 and the last Monday Night Raw taking place there in January 19th of 2020. So it was one of the last Raws before they shut everything down in the old 2020, if you'll remember.
Yeah.
The biggest wrestling show that took place at this arena was the Clash of the Champions 18, which features such matches as PN News, my favorite rapper, and yours, Glenn, Yo Baby Yo.
Oh.
Taking on Diamond Dallas Page. It also had Vinny Vegas taking on, not Tommy Rich, Thomas Rich, because I believe he was a member of the York Foundation at this point.
He was, yeah.
And Ricky Steamboat and Sting battled Rick Rude and Steve Austin in the main event, Glenn. So that's a lot of fun.
At least they had a decent main event. If the rest of the card was a bit underwhelming.
Yeah, the main event was good, though. And if you happen to find yourself in Topeka, Kansas somehow, I've been there and I would not recommend going, and you're down there on March the 20th, which is 6 days from now, which also happens to be Miss AWI Pod's birthday. So her birthday is in 6 days. I better buy her something. I'm just kidding. And you can see the Harlem Globetrotters at this arena, Glenn, on March the 20th. Have you heard of the Harlem Globetrotters?
I have actually seen the Harlem Globetrotters live a few times, yes.
No kidding.
Yeah.
When they're done. The Washington Colonels?
I don't know. I was a young lad. My name used to take me to Wembley when they used to come over.
That's fun. I've never seen the Harlem Globetrotters, but I've always wanted to go. I mean, they come to Nebraska every so often, but I've just never went down and watched, which I probably should. It's not like the tickets are probably expensive.
No. It's a fun, well, I can remember of it. It's a fun night.
I mean, it's a bunch of guys doing silly basketball tricks. How yeah. They start the show with, this is kind of strange because it came out of nowhere, but they like, so LOD has this match tonight with the Godwins, and apparently their career's on the line, which they didn't talk about this last week. So it's just kind of weird that they just kind of sprung it on us.
Yeah. I think it must have just got forgotten in the reshuffle last week.
Could very well be. Yeah, that could very well be. Yeah, and so they show like a video package really hyping up the meaning of the match. And it was nice, though, because it actually made the tag team titles feel like they mattered.
Yeah, that's right.
If only for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was good. We start the evening with the Hart Foundation are going to come out to the ring and speak. Maybe. Kind of. And you can say this is a pretty big moment in wrestling history right here.
Oh, it definitely is.
So, you know, let's...
And there's a lot of truth being spoken on this.
Yeah.
Hold on, that's right. Now, before the Hitman puts a sleeper hold on this crowd and puts them all to sleep, we would love to tell the Hitman that I know you're getting old. I know you're jerking the curtain on my cards. At Survivor Series, I know we're going to be in your neck of the woods in Canada.
I beat you so bad last week, my hands are still hurting me. And let's face it, Hitman, I'm younger than you.
Everybody's younger than him.
Everybody. I'm better than you.
Everybody's better than him.
And I'm certainly bigger than you in more ways than one.
Good God, you're going to put an eye out with that thing. Oh, Hitman, I got news for you. Sometime during this show, we are going to cross paths. And you talk about us being degenerates. You know what? I'm tired of Generation X. Getting a bad rap. You think you're a degenerate? Well, I mean, I'm gonna be, I'm positive I'm one. I guess I'd have to be one. But you know what, Generation X always gets a bad rap. Everybody calls me degenerate. Degeneration X, is that us? Degeneration X, Triple H, HBK, China, Ravishing Rick, we are Degeneration X. You make the rules and we will break them. Yeah, you guys aren't gonna make it to the Survivor Series.
You won't make it that far.
Just send everybody to sleep with his promo. Excellent.
Well, that's why I made sure to leave that part in there just for you. It wasn't just me, or I don't know if like Brett was just doing a good job of acting, but he looked legitimately pissed.
He did. You never know what he knows and what he doesn't know at this time.
That's true. I mean, this is what he hasn't. We're not gonna be seeing him for much longer. Spoiler alert, but yeah. So I thought it was interesting. They also showed like footage of like Michael sticking the Canadian flag up his nose, and it was kind of sad because Bret Hart thought he was gonna get to talk, and then he tried to talk again into the Nation of Domination just stormed out there, so he didn't get to say anything. Yeah, because then we go right into Kama Mustafa battling Owen Hart.
And of course, they think that that's going to that's going to go without a hitch. The notorious Nation of Domination for never finishing matches against the Hart Foundation, who are notorious for not finishing matches. And then you throw Degeneration X in there as the catalyst.
Yeah, it was like a lumberjack match, but it wasn't a lumberjack match.
Yeah.
There was so many people out there.
There's too many people out there.
There were, yeah, DX comes out there. They get on commentary. Shawn Michaels says that Stu Hart's dead. His body and brain just don't know it yet. Finally, they all start brawling, and DX is like watching and encouraging.
I love the fact that Jerry Lawler was trying to wrangle his way in with DX. And that's taking his headphones away from him and giving him a rip root.
Did we at any point make you think that we were your friends? He's like, did I pull your string and tell you to talk? Shut up. So, yeah, I mean, eventually they start brawling, and then I don't know. I feel like the brawl between all of them could have been 3-4 minutes shorter. I felt like it just dragged on and on.
Well, yeah, that's because it probably was a decent match in the ring, but we didn't actually see much of it. It was sort of going on around what was going on around the outside.
Yeah, like it really wasn't a bad match. It's just she didn't get a chance to see anything going on. And I mean, both those guys are solid workers, so there's no reason why they couldn't have a good match. It just, there was so much bullshit going on around it that it just didn't matter.
I was going to say, before that, at the end of that, when the melee is going on, I mean, Shawn Michaels is just laying there watching what's going on and trying to point out things.
Yeah, they were, I don't know how the Nation guys didn't just punch them for being obnoxious, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's it. You would have thought so, but obviously I didn't.
Now it's time to hear from the Hog Farmers.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Godwins, of course, defending a tag team championship this week. You just won the titles last week and against LOD this week. Why take this kind of a risk?
Why take the risk, Vince? Because we're going to get rid of the LOD once and for all.
You know, I watched him when I was a little kid.
Your time was then. Our time is now. Is there going to be a war? Yeah. But it's going to be worth every bit of it, because LOD is going to be out of the WWF.
I used to watch it when I was a little kid, and that's it.
Yeah. I can't believe that is Dirty White Boy, that little thing at the back.
That's him. You don't look so big between these two guys.
That's right.
Yeah. That's just so... I figured that Phineas would elaborate on that, but nope.
No, that's it.
I used to watch him when I was a little kid, and that was it. And then, Glenn, it's time for some little people! Woo!
And I think this is time that we bring in our co-host, don't you, for this one?
We got to bring in the third member of our team. Let's get the mayor of Canton in here so we can watch this mini match with us. As promised, the mayor has joined us. Mayor of Canton, you ready to watch some minis?
Man. I have never been more ready to watch some minis. Like, God, this is so good. It's like, look at these guys with their robes. These are glorious looking robes.
They sit there. Look,
mosaic and tarantula.
Yeah. And they're facing, of course, the illustrious Max Mini and his best friend Nova.
The White Power Ranger, also known as Max Mini.
Yes, the White Power Ranger. He was also in a laser tag commercial with Sable during this show too. So
it's very funny.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Wow.
If you're just listening to this, go and watch the,
speaking of filthy.
The best sleaze.
Oh, put it back on.
That's just stripping.
Yeah. But in 1996, you didn't know any difference.
Yeah. Well, in 1996, pal, I was like, yeah, take it off. I was like, yeah, take it off. Cause I was like 12. I was as tall as these guys. Here we go. Oh,
a flying knee to the bread basket.
That was stiffski.
Tarantula looks like a large man. He's a large mini.
He is a large mini.
He's a median-y.
Yeah, he really is. He's not really as big as fucking mini. Remember Mini Goldust? That kid was a fucking teenager, at least.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, God, what a dropkick. So was the mini Vader guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And here we go. Massagria Sangrada Jr. here, a.k.a. Max Mini. I just like to say it because I can say it, so.
I've been practicing that one all day.
Yeah.
Wee.
Oh, boy. They got some... There's a little bit of shenanigans going on in here, if you know what I mean. Whoa!
Hit him with a little twister.
He did hit him with a tiny little twister. Look at this.
And a boing.
He hit him with the F-5.
Yeah.
It might have been an F1.
It was an F1 and a half.
Yeah.
It's not so far, isn't
it? Oh, God, he kicked the shit out. Oh, look at this. Fucking little flips, little cartwheels. They're all over the place. Holy cow. This is the best match of the show.
The minis matches always deliver.
They really do. Oh, look at this now. What are they going to do? Oh, he took them all over. Holy cow. I don't even know what to say about that. The tarantula guy really likes to use his kicks, but I guess that makes sense because he should have eight legs because he's a tarantula.
Wow, he should have had extra legs. They just flop around.
Yeah. That was stupid.
Oh, God!
I don't care how small you are. Still hitting those steel girders hurts.
He broke his Oh, goodness gracious!
Yeah, he's dead. They're going to have to...
He's a little concussed, if you know what I mean.
They're going to have to get out a pillowcase to carry him back in a stretcher.
On the top of his head.
Oh, God.
Get the camera off of him.
You know when Mankind hits it and it makes that loud bang sound? His just went ping.
Yeah.
That was a count of four.
I think it was. It was a 2.5 count. Well, Max Mini gets the win. We may never see Nova again because I'm pretty sure he caved his brain in. But
do you think when they get their driver's license, they can just drive around in Power Wheels?
Yeah, why not?
Maybe Micro Machines?
How else would they drive? Yeah, 1, 2, 3.
I mean, they can't drive a regular car. There's no way they're reaching the pedals.
The good news is that Nova's up and moving, so he's not paralyzed. So that's good news. He doesn't look to really know where he's at. Well, that is it. That is the end.
I can't wait till one day there's a Maxime Mini Dupree.
With Mini Otis, I like it.
Oh, gosh, Mini Otis, that would be tough.
What are you going to say, Glenn?
I said that's a better, although it's the same match, it was a better match than the Bad Blood one they had. There were less botches apart from one where it spiked himself on the floor.
That's true. The Bad Blood match, I think, felt clunky too, just because they were thrown out there because a man died, which is that's the only reason why we didn't watch that match or have the mayor on to watch that one, because it was just a somber mood.
Yeah, it was.
Wait, a man died?
Brian Pillman died, and so the match where it was supposed to be Brian Pillman versus Dude Love, they replaced it with the mini matches because it's like, hey, a man just died. Here's some little people.
I was trying to narrow out all the pay-per-views where someone could have died, and I was between Benoit and Owen Hart.
Well, you forgot about Brian Pillman.
Forgot
about Brian Pillman. Well, that is it. That is all. We hope you enjoyed this viewing of the mini match. Now, back to your regularly scheduled programming. All right, there we go. It's always fun when the minis come to town, except for when they throw them at me because somebody died.
Yes. Oh, that was a bit vicious, wasn't it? Lawn darted onto his head there.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun to watch. Those are always fun to watch, and we always love to get the mayor on to watch those with us. They then tell us that up next we're going to see Flash Funk versus Shawn Michaels, which is a strange matchup. But first, Glenn, we hear all about the Survivor Series Super Supper Sweepstakes, Glenn, where you can eat dinner with your favorite WWF superstar and 10 of your friends. And I thought to myself, who the fuck has 10 friends?
Yes, exactly. Especially wrestling fans.
I know.
They're overestimating.
Oh, well, I see people having like wrestling parties, and I'm like, who do you know? I don't know. I don't know anyone in my town that likes wrestling besides me. I don't know anybody.
That's it.
Or if they do like it, they're not telling me about it. They're ashamed or something, because I know nobody.
You just have to invite strangers.
I guess, or find your friends on the internet.
All these strangers. I've hardly known anybody there, apart from maybe a wrestler or two.
You know what? I do find that most of the time when I go to a wrestling show, I do end up talking to the person next to me and having a lot in common with the person next to me. So maybe if there was like a place around here that showed it like at a bar, but I don't think that happens anymore. So, and I wouldn't want to go anyway, because who wants to go to a bar? Not me. But Glenn, of today's current WWF WWE superstars or NXT, you could have dinner with one superstar. Who would it be? Who would you pick?
Current. It has to be current.
No, fine. Anybody.
Oh, that's easy. He's Mick Foley.
Oh, you know what? That's a great answer. Okay, if it was current, who would you pick?
If it was current, maybe Randy Orton.
That's hilariously funny, Glenn, because I was going to say the exact same thing. Current person, I would pick Randy Orton. I'm just, whenever I listen to him in interviews and hear him talk,
yeah,
he just sounds like he has such good stories to tell, and he seems like he's such a cool fucking guy, which is crazy because he used to seem like a complete asshole, but now he seems like the coolest guy ever, and I would love to sit down and talk to him. That'd be great.
Yeah, I don't think he takes himself too seriously either.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest, I think it's the best thing about him is that he doesn't take himself too seriously. Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah, back to Flash Funk, sorry.
Well, not really, because before we get to the match, they show us
that's right.
They show us what happened between Rockabilly, don't worry, I won't play the song, and the Honky Tonk Man. This is pretty iconic too, Glenn, so I think we got to look at it.
This is it. This is another building, bro. After the reversal, the idiot. No, there's a roll-up by Flash Funk. And Flash Funk wins
it. Some of you may know my name, but for those of you who don't, take a big gander at the Titantron because the Road Dog is back in the dog pound.
He used to be called the Roadie when he met his Jeff Jarrett.
My friend, you are not a loser. So me and you together. Oh, I smell money. I smell money. Willie Will, are you with me?
And I'm going to ask him the ultimate question right now. And he's going to tell you, Willie Will, are you with me or not?
Well, what's the answer?
I don't know. He's not, and it looks like Billy's with Honky.
Looks I'm like... going to solve your problem.
Jesse James.
Oh, look out. Look out. Oh. Oh,
Rockabilly just gave Honky Tonk Man the answer.
And like if you don't know, we're finally getting those two together.
Yeah, so that's going to be nice. It'll be nice to have another proper tag team around, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's it.
And Glenn, that means you will never, probably ever, have to hear the Rockabilly song ever again.
Yep, hopefully.
maybe not, Glenn. Flash Funk then makes his way out to the ring to talk about how this is a huge match in the career of Flash Funk, and bad news for Flash Funk, though. Who else? Who doesn't come out there? That who isn't Shawn Michaels that comes out there?
It's supposed to be Shawn Michaels against Flash Funk. The lights go out. The organ strikes up. Of course, it's the big red monster with the little fat guy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay, this is an old trope. We've seen it before. We've seen it. Sid comes out, destroys the jobber or whoever's in the ring and gets away out. But the referee thinks it's a match.
Yeah, they rang the bell, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he gets him to ring the bell, and he actually, the referee sanctions it as a match, where it never was.
Maybe that referee is really confused, and he thought that Shawn Michaels had grown a lot and started wearing a red suit and a mask and brought Paul Bearer with him. I mean, they both have shoulder-length hair, so he got that part right.
Yeah.
Well, I guess Shawn's longer than the shoulder. You know what? This referee is an idiot, man. That's all we're going to say here. So, yeah, he basically lays this guy, he lays Flash Funk out, obviously. Flash Funk tries to punch him, but he no-sells all of it.
Yeah.
Hits him with a huge choke slam and a power bomb. After that, Paul Bearer gets on the mic and he says, you know, everything the Undertaker has ever dreamed of, we're going to take away. Everything he's ever wanted to accomplish, we're going to take from him. Human eye has not seen or has ear heard what Kane is going to bring upon his brother. He says the Undertaker will never rest in peace and they will continue to take down superstars one by one. Until the Kane can face his brother.
And of course, the opportunist. As they've gone out the ring, Shawn Michaels comes in and pins Funk to actually get the win.
Well, the referee had left. Apparently, he realized it wasn't a match.
Hunter counted it and China rang the bell. So That's as much of a match as the Kane match was.
That's true. At least there was a finish. And then Rick Rude gets on the mic and starts announcing him as the winner, and he's like, he can't read the word icon. He said like something else.
Yeah.
And then the funniest part about it is like after that, they're like celebrating, and he's like looking, he's talking to China and showing China the notes, and China's just standing there like,
yeah,
not even acknowledging his existence, just like.
And there's some guy in the ring. Shout out to the UTT guys, the sign of the week.
Oh, yeah.
Said, I love China, but it was China.
I saw that too.
And he loves the country.
Yeah, he's a big fan of China. He would be banned nowadays in this world. This country, they would like TikTok. They'd get rid of him. I do this all the time with the Bret Hart thing. If you love somebody so much, you know how to spell their fucking name.
That's it.
God damn it. Shit. I love Declan Rice. I know how to spell rice, okay? So
it's a shame that Rick Rude left when he did. Because I don't know about you, but I feel that DX would have been even better with him there as that sort of air of authority and menace.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think he would have added like another layer to it. I think it would have been, I think it would have worked. They could have like thrown him into some comedic stuff too. Like I thought this whole fucking ring thing was pretty comedic to me. I agree with you 100%. They keep showing these videos throughout the night about LOD talking about their big wins in the WWE and their big match at Wembley. You were there for that one, weren't you, Glenn?
Yep. 92. Mm-hmm.
That Rocco the
Dummy. Oh, motorcycles to the ring. Excellent, mate. Excellent.
The only thing bad about it was they had Paul Ellering and Rocco with them.
Yeah.
Nothing against Paul Ellering. Rocco.
No, but Paul Ellering is like a spare, what's it, a wedding. Always has been. He's not that great a manager, but he's always managed to manage.
Like, I don't even understand what he's doing with the team he's with now.
No.
Like, look, we got these two big Samoan badasses. We got this guy named Karrion Kross. We got this hot chick with blonde hair and this old dude.
Who cuts all the promos. Karrion Kross cuts all the promos.
Yeah.
Ellering is just there. Why?
Like, cool, Scarlet Brother Grandpa.
And a lot of the time it's like that with LOD as well. You see lots of LOD and then Ellering just standing in the background.
Yeah, exactly. And then we come back from a break, Glenn, and it's going to be Skull and 8-Ball.
Oh, hang on. We've got to mention that break.
What happened during the break? Did I miss something?
We saw Sable.
Oh, was that then?
That was then.
Okay. I thought it was somewhere else.
No, that was then. With these laser tag things that they're doing.
Yeah, Classy Freddy Blassie was in this one.
Yeah. God knows who else the other cronies were around that table. They open up a little chamber and out pops Max Mini.
Yeah.
I lost it.
And she's like, what happened? And he's like, I don't know. The writers couldn't think of a big finish for me.
Yeah, he couldn't finish with a funny finish. Couldn't think of a funny finish.
So that was it. Then it shows Sable and Max Mini walking out.
Yeah. I thought it was funny anyway.
Well, I mean, anytime that Max Mini shows up, it's nice, Glenn. So.
Yeah.
I still prefer the Sunny Sports videos opposed to that. And it's not very often that I choose Sunny over anything.
No, that's true.
Next up, it's going to be the DOAs.
Yeah. Fake Undertaker and the Harris Brothers.
And the Harris Brothers. And not some brother, Crush Brother. Yeah. It's going to be Skull and 8-Ball in the tag team match. The two twins are going to be taking on Sniper and Recon of the Truth Commission. And I see they already got rid of the Commandant. He's already gone.
Yeah, he's gone.
Yep. They said bye. Because they've got, what do they call him? Cyrus?
Yeah, something like that. Did I make a note?
Oh, the Jackal.
Oh, yeah. It's the. Recon a sniper with the interrogator and the jackal.
The jackal, which it's Don Callis, if you don't know who the jackal is. It's Don Callis. He didn't say, he said a lot. He talked, but he didn't say a whole lot that was worth noting. So we won't even bother talking about it.
No.
Not that this was a classic match or anything, but I didn't think it was as bad as I thought it was going to be.
No. This was spoiled by study commentary getting all political.
Yep.
Why they couldn't have commentated on the match, which wasn't a bad match in the scheme of this whole show.
Yeah.
And they had to go on about bashing Bill Clinton instead.
Yeah, they went on about Bill Clinton and Janet Reno. And one of the funny things that Lawler said, he said, "You've met Janet Reno with all your dealings with the Justice Department, McMahon." I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, even JR sounded annoyed by them. He was, like, trying to get them on task, and eventually was just like, "You guys want to talk about what you had for dinner or what you like on TV or what's next?"
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't understand it. It eventually gets thrown out with the DQ because the jackal pulls down the top rope and the two factions just brawl outside the ring.
Does this come out before or after the Sid show?
This will come out before.
Right. We will see on the Sid show a non-disqualification for exactly the same thing.
Yeah, you're right.
I can't understand why there's a disqualification in this match for somebody pulling a rope down.
Yeah, I don't know if it was that or all the fighting outside the ring, but it just, I don't know.
Anyway.
They don't do anything for the factions that they have because they all, their matches just end in smashes every time.
Mm-hmm.
Every single time.
Yeah. I give it a bad end, and then we've McMahon and Daddy the King waffling through it all. It spoiled what would probably been a decent match.
Yeah, one of the very few decent matches that we see on these shows.
That's right.
But they ruined it. Then after that, we get the whole show restart. Stone Cold Steve Austin makes his way down to the ring. Is he going to sign Vince McMahon's contract? Let's all find out together.
I like the way you make this look so damn easy. What you got to do is sign first, because I don't trust you as far as I can throw you, and that's the bottom line. You want the match, you sign first, and then I'll sign, but not a second before.
But these are the same documents that you saw before the broadcast.
The same damn thing, and you know it is.
You McMahon with those stupid glasses on. That's got to be embarrassing in front of the world. Yeah. Oh. Steve's number one, it says. He gets him at Survivor Series, and it's official.
Well, all I'm telling you to do is shake my hand, son. Don't sit there and make a mess out of your pants. Just shake my damn hand, and we got a deal.
Look at the man. Good thing old Vince is wearing dark pants. Watch it. He still may get you. This is how it started last time, JR.
I remember.
Now, you just wait a minute. Let me tell you something, Stone Cold. No, your business is my business. Uh-oh. What you did was cross the railroad track. I thought your kind of people knew when you crossed the railroad track what's over there. Hey, let me tell you what's over there. There are no white picket fence over there. There are no three-car garages. There are no five-bedroom houses over there. What we do is make a sacrifice for everything we get across the track. And what you did when you caused me the Intercontinental title was sacrifice your ass to me and the nation.
Basically, I didn't understand one damn word you said, but it sounds like you're a little pissed off. Sounds like you got something against Stone Cold Steve Austin for wrapping that damn belt around your head. So I'm telling you, all you got to do is bring your ass to the ring or any one of them people up there, I'll stomp a mud hole in you and walk it dry.
I hope you don't think just one of them's going to come up there.
No, they kick it.
There comes Rocky. Rocky Maivia accepts the challenge. Look at this. And there's a stunner. Stone Cold Stunner.
He got him.
Austin has just stunned, and there goes Stone Cold.
I've seen that before.
Rocky going, I can take a stun of the best. I'll go.
And then he's going to one-up himself every time he takes a stunner after that one. He sold that one great, and he's going to do it even better.
Yeah, there's some down the line where he goes like a salmon.
there's a WrestleMania fucking 17 one where he like fucking almost does like a Ric Flair flip in the ropes shit after he hits him with one. That was fun. So Stone Cold's back. He's going to be taking on Owen Hart at Survivor Series. I almost called it SummerSlam, but there's too many S's. For Survivor Series for the Intercontinental Championship. And he's got a beef with the Nation. And heel Rocky Maivia is going to see a lot more of those stunners in his future.
Yeah, definitely.
We hear a promo from LOD. What were you going to say?
This is exactly what people remember about this era. This is the sort of thing that makes people forget how bad most of the matches were.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't seen a finish in any of the matches yet, I don't think.
No. Oh, yeah, no, not even in the mini match. That broke as well, didn't it?
Yeah, so... We haven't yet. We then get a promo from LOD, and it's a weird promo because I never heard them so calm.
And lucid.
Yeah, it's almost as if they hadn't injected themselves with steroids.
Yeah, this is like the first time we heard Sid be calm and lucid. Why don't we cut more promos like that?
Yeah, you're like, well, I don't ever remember that happening. So let's hear a lucid LOD.
Gentlemen, why take a risk of this magnitude tonight?
Tonight's the night we find out if the Road Warriors got the fire and the desire to be WWF champion. Tonight's the night that we find out if the Hawk and the Animal got what it takes deep down inside of us to want to be champions. We had opportunities with Bulldog and Owen Hart, and we didn't get the job done. We let outside interference that we never let bother us before in our head get in our way to becoming WWF champions. Now, we're not going to be like some guys who relied on our laurels in the past that can't cut it today, like Hulk Hogan or Randy Savage living on yesteryear. The challenge today and the competition is a lot tougher today. So that's why we want to be the new WWF champions. If we can't cut it, then we're out of here.
We're going to find out tonight whether we're the king of the hill or over the hill. If we're over the hill, lose the match. Gone.
Excellent.
Even name dropped Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage.
Yeah.
That was something. It was a good promo, and I mean we didn't even get the what a rush.
No, must have kept him off the caffeine.
Yeah, they hadn't coffee that day. Definitely what it was. Definitely what it was. Less coffee. They had decaf that day. The next matchup, it's a light heavyweight match. I feel like it's been a couple of weeks since we got one of these.
It doesn't say like a couple of weeks since we last saw bloody Brian Christopher, though.
Well, we just saw him a little bit ago when we recorded the Sid show, but
he seems to be everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere we go, we see fucking Brian Christopher. God rest his soul. So I didn't notice until this match, but I didn't realize that like they have the newer announce desks now. You know, the ones that can kind of pop down and pop back up again, like they have nowadays. I didn't realize it until this match. I don't know why, but I hadn't realized that there were new tables until this match. But so it's a new era in announce tables for WWE.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, this match was fine. Mm.
Yeah. This is an exhibition match, apparently.
Is that what they said?
Yeah.
Okay.
Man, they keep on going on about having a tournament to find a light heavyweight champion.
Yeah.
They keep on having these exhibition matches instead.
Yeah, I feel like they've been pushing that they're going to do a tournament for light heavyweight champion for the entirety that we've done this show, and it's almost been the whole year of 97. I mean, we've only got a couple more months left, and we still haven't got anything that looks to be a light heavyweight tournament. So that'll be interesting.
It's nice to see a young Tajiri, though.
Yeah, I mean, people would probably know who Tajiri is. I would assume if you're our era of wrestling fan, you would know Tajiri. A little bit of a different look for Tajiri. He looks like a very young, spry young man here. But, you know, stiff kicks, good high-flying stuff. Really had something for everyone in this match. It probably was only like fucking 3 minutes long. But by far the best match on the show up until this point. I know that's not saying a lot.
It's just sad that they keep putting Christopher over. Because poor Tajiri, he's not WWF developmental or Jerry the King Lawler's son.
Yep, poor him. He loses after Christopher rolls him up by holding the tights. JR did say during this match, which I thought was funny, he said, if the king is known as Burger King, does that mean Brian is known as Whopper Jr.?
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty
funny. Yeah, that was good.
And then Jim Cornette's here. He's mad.
At least Tajiri got the last kick in.
He did. He did kick him right over the top rope, didn't he?
Yeah, in the face, which was pretty good.
That was nice. So they did at least get him something. But yeah, so Jim Cornette's back again this week, and he's mad.
He's mad.
There's no way that I could ever do a Cornette promo justice. So
no.
Express are my own, but as you'll see, they may be yours too. There's a man named Phil Mushnick who writes columns for the New York Post and for TV Guide. You probably never heard of Mr. Mushnick, but you should, because he's had some pretty nasty things to say about you. You see, Phil Mushnick hates pro wrestling, and he's not content just to change the channel. He doesn't want you to be able to watch it either, not the WWF, WCW, ECW, nothing. And for the past several years, Mushnick has led a one-man campaign to have the wrestling industry abolished. Recently, when Ted Turner donated $1 billion to charity, Mr. Mushnick said the world would be better served if he closed up WCW. Phil Mushnick is the man who called for and spearheaded the media and publicity barrage over the federal indictment of Vince McMahon and the WWF on steroid charges. And even though McMahon and the WWF were proven totally innocent in a federal courtroom, Mushnick ignores that fact to this day and writes his columns as if it were a fact they were proven guilty, just so he can continue his one-man crusade. He even wrote a column one time about the Madison Square Garden Network firing Marv Albert, saying that the Garden should cancel wrestling matches too. But Phil Mushnick not only hates wrestling, he hates wrestling fans. Here's a few things he's had to say about you, and I quote, "If not for America's lunatic fringe and the disaffected, WCW would be out of business. If you can tell me that you would bring an important child in your life to a pro wrestling match, I have no gripe with you because you clearly don't know right from wrong. And the overwhelming majority of the wrestling fans who contact me simply prove my point by flooding my mailbox with profanities, obscenities, and other acts that show them to be a disenfranchised subculture. Well, Mr. Mushnick, I'm a wrestling fan, and a lot of the people that read the New York Post and TV Guide are wrestling fans too. And we don't enjoy being insulted by publications we pay money to read. We don't appreciate being told we don't know how to parent our children. We don't want a pompous, self-righteous man with a grudge sitting on top of Mount Olympus, looking down his nose at us and campaigning to take away the constitutional right that every American is guaranteed to freedom of speech, freedom of choice, and the freedom to enjoy whatever entertainment we choose. Those are facts, Mr. Mushnick, not rumors, not suppositions, but facts. You got to try to deal in them sometime. And I think it's time that the millions of people that you belittle as subhuman every chance you get tell the New York Post and TV Guide what they think of you. But if this has been going on so long, why am I mad right now? Because recently, Phil Mushnick used Brian Pillman's death to call for another outcry against wrestling. And I quote once again, "The problem is the mainstream media don't look hard enough at pro wrestling. Imagine if middle-aged pro baseball players dropped dead on a regular basis. This would be page one stuff, and a federal inquiry would be launched." Well, Brian Pillman was a friend of mine. From the time he was born with throat cancer, he had the courage to undergo 36 different throat operations. He had the courage to withstand the punishment of pro football and 10 years as a pro wrestler. He had the courage to come back from a car wreck that shattered his ankle and from a lot of other personal tragedies. And then one night he went to sleep in a hotel room and he died. And for you, Phil Mushnick, to use his death as an excuse for another call to action in your one-man vendetta against pro wrestling is more vulgar and more obscene than anything that you've ever falsely accused the wrestling industry of being guilty of. So on behalf of the wrestling fans, the wrestling industry, the friends and family of Brian Pillman, and anyone in this country today that denies any one man the right to force his morals and his beliefs on all of us and take away our constitutional rights, on behalf of those people, I say go to hell, Phil Mushnick, and try to reform things down there. Because we're doing just fine up here without you. I'm Jim Cornette, and that's my opinion.
Well, I like last week's one better, personally.
Yeah, he has some points, but And in hindsight, so has that reporter guy proven to be right in a lot of respects.
Yeah, but I mean, this guy never heard of Phil Munchnick until now. And so I looked him up because I hadn't heard of him. And this guy's apparently had beefs, problems with many people over the years. I'll name a few of them here. Former New York radio host Mike and the Mad Dog, he had a beef with them. ESPN personality Stephen A. Smith, Major League Baseball Hall of Famer Joe Morgan, rappers Jay-Z and Chance the Rapper, former Yankees catcher Gary Sanchez, ESPN ESPN personality Chris Berman, among many others. So this seems like this guy goes on tirades about a lot of people.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, you could be mad about saying that he's using Brian Pillman's death to exploit whatever, but y'all did the same thing last week when you fucking interviewed his wife. So.
That's exactly it, isn't it?
So I guess what goes around comes around, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not that Phil Munchnick sounds like an asshole. I can't say he
does. Oh, yeah. No, that's it. It's just lucky that he wasn't having a go at wrestling fans now. So he thinks he got a lot of abuse in the mail.
Oh, God. Yeah, no, I mean, he probably still gets it on Twitter. I'm sure he's on Twitter if he's still alive. I'm pretty sure he's still alive. Yeah. Good news, Glenn. Marlena and Goldust are back together. Goldust is going to be taking on Savio Vega in a match where the commentary once again did anything but talk about the match.
Again, it's just total disregard for the story that they were telling up to Brian Pillman's death. Is that see no evil, you hear no evil, speak no evil, forget about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing that she's done since she went off with Brian Pillman is lose a few inches off the hem of her skirt.
Well, I think she might have got it back this week, so that's
at least she had a short one on.
Did she? Okay.
Short one on, yeah. Not the long that she had before when she was with Goldust. Anyway, that's beside the point. It was.
Yeah. They keep bringing up a new Hulk Hogan movie that's supposed to be coming out, and the King mentions the movie No Holds Barred to Vince, and Vince says, well, Hulk Hogan told me if the Money Lost movie that he'd return some salary, but I get that checks in the mail. That was strange. Of course, the other members of the Los Barriquas get involved. They trip Goldust. It was another fine match, but, I mean, it just didn't have any substance.
No. And Goldust using the purse at the end to get the win. Yeah, it's okay, but yeah.
Yeah, it was fine, but yeah, whatever. So yeah, he wins with the help of Marlena's purse. We then hear what you hear on the superstar line that week, Glenn. And I guess Eric Bischoff had a big online meltdown. I don't even know you could have online meltdowns in 1997, but apparently you could. And you hear all about on the superstar line, Glenn, and that'll cost you $1.49 a minute. You willing to pay that?
No. Me not either. To 1-900-737-4WWF. Certainly not.
No. No, thank you. And then, Glenn, we're supposed to get Triple H versus the Patriot.
Yeah.
We don't.
No, again. Again, we don't.
No.
This time it's Rick Rude. He's not Kane this time. It's Rick Rude that stops it.
It did have something to do with not Hellfire and Brimstone Heat, but hot coffee.
Yeah.
So the Patriot comes out there. He's power waving his United States flag. Is you suck. You suck. You suck. And then here comes Rick Rude, taps him on the shoulder, throws hot coffee in his face. Hits him with the briefcase, and you know what, Glenn? We are never going to see that masked man again. He's gone. He's gone forever.
Is he? That's good.
He is gone. We are never going to see him again.
Well, that's good. We're not gonna hear that tune again until it's actually done by a decent.
Yeah, exactly. They get on the mic. They announce Triple H is the winner. The Sarge comes down there. He's yelling at him. They're doing the whole blocking from the spit thing. He goes on to tirade about how you have no respect for the wrestlers. You have no respect for the referees. You have no respect for anyone. and you're going to start showing some respect or else. And then Shawn Michaels is like, all right, Sarge, we're going to start showing you respect. Now suck it.
Yeah. I suppose you're the Patriot. The problem is all the Canadians are going to be going soon as well.
Yeah, but I mean, what do they need him for now?
Yeah, exactly.
This whole Canadians versus America thing is going to be over soon. We don't need you anymore. So Sarge says he has an opponent for him to face, and it's Ahmed Johnson. But
of course, he doesn't get to the ring because we go back to the beginning of the year with the feud that there is.
This is the feud that never ends. Yes, it goes on and on, my friend. It's ridiculous. Like, I don't want to see him by the Nation of Domination anymore. Stop it. No.
How many more times can Ahmed Johnson get beaten up by the Nation?
Gee, 100,000 times. I think Ron Simmons still shows up to Ahmed's house and beats him up today.
Yeah, bro. The only good thing about this is there's DX sitting on the ramp. They've got popcorn. They're eating popcorn. Why? Oh, no, it's getting beaten up.
And then, yeah, so they're fighting with Ahmed. They're beating Ahmed up. And then Ken Shamrock and LOD come down. And my favorite thing is they're eating the popcorn. And here comes LOD and Ken Shamrock. And they're like, oh! They're like,
yeah.
Fucking hilarious. So yeah, I mean, Shamrock and LOD like fought off the Nation, but then LOD's like, I don't give a fuck about this. It's time for our match.
Get out of the ring. Bring on the whole.
Yeah, Ahmed broke his arm again. Can we get the match started? He always gets injured. We know it's fine.
Yeah, bring on the whole promise. We've got a match to win.
Yeah, so we go to a break, we come back, and the Hog Farmers are out here. It's for the tag team titles, LOD versus the Godwins. If the LOD lose, they must retire. These two have had some stinker contests in the past, so I didn't have high hopes in this one, Glenn, but I got to say I was pleasantly surprised.
Best one of the lot.
By light years.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually watched this. I've got a lot of notes for this. Which says a lot.
It was big guys beating the shit out of each other.
Exactly. It's what it should have been from the beginning.
Not with all the other
buckets and slop drops all the time and broken necks and
yeah,
all the other shenanigans that went on.
Everything that we've seen so far, yeah. Which this did have its share of shenanigans. I mean, they did use the horseshoe a couple of times of Uncle Cletus. They eventually do a spot where they throw Animal into the ring steps on the outside, and they actually look like they're going to take him away from the match.
You would have thought, though, if they're going to use things like the slot bucket and horseshoes and things, that they would have made this a no DQ match, as it's probably going to be the last one.
Yeah.
Especially as, you know, the Legion of Doom's careers were on the line.
I think maybe the reason they didn't do that is because they were pushing on commentary a lot about how the Godwins will just get themselves disqualified because then LOD won't win the championships and they'll have to retire, which that's something that LOD should have really thought through, but they didn't.
Yeah, well, the Hog Farmers didn't either.
You're right, because they didn't try to get themselves disqualified. They tried to be slick about it.
Yeah, well, if it had been a no DQ match, then it wouldn't have mattered.
That's true. That is true. Yeah, so they throw Animal into the ring steps. They look like they're going to have to take Animal to the back. We get a ref bump, of course. And then, like, Animal sees what's happening to Hawk in the ring, and he breaks away. He hulks up all of a sudden, breaks away from the referee. Shoulder's no longer injured. Nothing's wrong. He runs back into the ring. Uncle Cletus gets in the ring. They try to hit Animal with the Lucky Horseshoe, but he misses and hits Henry instead. And then Hawk comes off the top rope with the clothesline on Phineas. And they get the 3 count and the win. They are the new tag team champions, and they will not have to retire. And after the match, the Godwins beat the shit out of their Uncle Cletus.
Yep. So, poor old Tony Anthony's contract is up then.
Yeah, him and the Patriot, they're both gone. We'll never see them again. They're in wrestling purgatory. Who knows what happened to them after today.
At least I suppose they get to go out on air and not suddenly have it just release, you know, a news thing that they've been released.
Or like, yeah, you were on TV on Monday and then on Tuesday there's like a fucking tweet that said you've been released. You're like, but I was just in a storyline.
Yeah.
I remember in 20, like, it was like, we were still in the Thunderdome. Aleister Black makes his re-debut, right? He attacks Big E, and then the next day he's released. I'm like, huh?
Some excellent promos going into that as well. Oh, yeah, that looks interesting.
Yeah.
No, we'll release you.
Nope, you're gone.
Yeah, you're gone. Bye.
So strange. Thank God those days are gone. But anyway, yeah, this was a good match. I was a little worried for what they were going to do to Young Cletus after the match came off because Henry looked like he was about to start taking his overalls off. So I don't know what they were going to have. I don't know what getting thrown out of the hog. Really. I don't know what that entails. Maybe it's.
That would have gone there.
That's a different podcast. But yeah. I was like, oh God, I don't know. I'm very scared. I think even the king was like, what are they going to do to him now? So yeah, I'm glad it didn't take place. I'm glad I never watched that. But
yeah,
so that is the end of this episode of Raw is War. The dogs are very upset that it's over. But that's fine. That's it. That's all. Anything else you want to say? Or, well, you know, Glenn, we got to look at the ratings, don't we?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Also, are we giving the show thumbs up or thumbs down? I think it's got to be thumbs up because it had enough good stuff.
Yep. Thumbs up.
Yeah, got to. It's got to. So the ratings for this week. WWE... went down from last week. I got to make sure I'm looking at the right day.
Yeah, we got Degeneration X. We got the birth of the badass Billy Gunn. And
oh, yeah, the Road Dog. Yeah.
Rock got, I think, his second stunner.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, a lot of good stuff on this episode. All right. So, October the 13th, Raw's rating was a 3.0 last week. It dropped to a 2.25. Nitro's also dropped slightly. Nitro was at a 3.97, and it dropped to a 3.79 for that week. So the ratings are getting a bit closer.
Yeah, I mean, it's something on.
Yeah, so it's October. I'm trying to think. There's no really big sporting events in October. Like, it's not the NBA playoffs. That doesn't start until the summertime, so.
Nah, it's probably a TV show or something that ran alongside them. Drop their ratings. Well, they didn't do anything last week on Raw for it to drop that much.
You wouldn't think. So here's some of the matches that we could have seen had we watched WCW instead. Eddie Guerrero defending the WCW Cruiserweight Championship against Psychosis, which was probably a heck of a match, but it was only 3 minutes long, so it couldn't have been that great. Former Chicago Bears Super Bowl winning defensive tackle Steve Mongo McMichael defeated Steven Regal. Sorry, Glenn. Eugene Nagata. That's right, Glenn. Eugene Nagata faced Chris Jericho on this show.
Oh.
They got a 4-minute match, which Eugene Nagata won.
That's very AEW.
That really is. So that, I mean, goddamn, pal. And it was on TNT. What do you know? Bill Goldberg defeated Scotty Riggs. Scott Norton beat some man named Ray Traylor. That can't be right. No, you know, it is Ray Traylor. I'm right. I'm sorry. I was thinking. I never heard of him. And the main event of the evening was Kurt Hennig defending his United States Championship against Diamond Dallas Page, and he won that match by disqualification. So there you go. That's what we missed had we not watched WWE instead. So there you have it. That is it. Anything else you want to add before we get out of here, Glenn?
No, I think that's it. Just to give the Unbooking the Territory guys a shout out and their side projects. Gator Golf, where they're doing all other different things.
Yeah.
For season two of that. Unstacking the Territory, that's on hold at the moment, but I'm sure that'll be back soon. And of course.
The Doctor Who podcast with Danny Inside. That's on SJP World Media.
And DDT Wrestling with DC Doc. Due to personal issues, again, they didn't have an episode this week, but they'll be back next week.
Yes, make sure you give all those fine people a listen and a follow on whatever social media apps you may have. Speaking of social media apps, give the other member of our podcast team, you saw his face here earlier, it's the mayor of Canton. Give him a follow on Twitter. He does a meal with the mayor every Wednesday. This week he went to the Cheesecake Factory, which made me so mad that I want to throw my phone at the wall.
Not your... It's sad for you that. It just made me hungry.
It looked really good, Glenn, but the fact that it looked so good is what made me mad because I can't eat it. I can have one bite of that, maybe. And like the mayor said, I would enjoy it for an hour.
Yeah, the thing is, I can eat it, but I can't because it's the other side of the Atlantic.
And it ain't worth coming over for the food, Glenn, because the cheesecake's the only thing good there, and that's why I hate that place. But yes, yeah, always check that out every Wednesday and make sure you give the mayor a follow. And of course, make sure you check out Sports Wire Radio, everything they got going on. Check out the website. It's sportswireradio.org. Hit that listen live button and you can hear everything they got going on. And give our buddy Thomas Bryce a follow. He's the man running things over at Sports Wire Radio. Just search Thomas Bryce in the search thing in any social media app that you have, and you will find his lovely chops, I'm sure. It's Thomas Bryce, B-R-I-C-E.
There was another inductee into the Hall of Fame this week as well.
So make sure you check that out. Make sure you check out everything he's got going on. Shout out to Tom. And, of course, give our other side projects a watch. We talked about it here, The Life and Times of Psycho Sid. You can go and check that out. And we're still going to do our WrestleMania watch-along. We had a little technical difficulties. We're blaming it on Brutus the Barber Beefcake. But there won't be any Brutus this week, Glenn, so hopefully he won't be able to stop us. Yeah. Or StreamYard won't be able to stop us. They haven't stopped us today, Glenn, so I'm hopeful. And we'll have that out again. The part two will be up.
It's funny that there's a few people complaining about StreamYard last week.
Yeah, it wasn't just us. That's right. It was not just us. So that is it. I think that is all, Glenn. I don't think we have anything else to plug.
Nope.
I think it's time to say goodbye.
Goodbye.